people to join in the dinging to stop. All right, let's get started. I hope everyone had a safe drive in, or if you didn't have to drive, that's great too. All right, so oops, I just hid the message I need. One sec. So, Rudy, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Connie?
I'm here.
Great. Amber? I am here. Excellent. Michael?
I'm here.
Great. Renee?
I'm here.
Sheila? Yes. Fran?
Good morning.
Good morning, Fran. Elena?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Elena. Lori or Joyce from Chafee? All right. Bo?
I'm here.
Len.
Good morning, Sheila.
Hey, Sheila, great. And then, Michael, who else from the SOS is with you? Or I guess if you're on the phone, I'm never sure. We have
sure, yeah. I don't know. I think it's just me, but Vanessa, are you on the line by chance?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hey, and Trevor Timmons on the line.
Oh, great, Trevor. I wasn't sure if you'd be able to join us. All right. So let's start with what we have coming up first, which is the we have a presentation on the 9th to the COBAME Commission. I sent out the survey earlier in the week. We're getting some of that back. Joan in my office is collecting that information and putting it together. I have asked to make sure that this group, the business practice group, send in that information as a representation from across the state, and then we'll have, I send it out to all the clerks and their offices as well for any county that wants to participate and share their information as well. That was what was decided at the last commission meeting. In addition to that, we have several counties joining by phone to present their information. We'll have Rudy up in Weld thinks he's going to make it by phone. Sheila, Michelle Nauer, and Pam Bacon. Michelle is I always want to say she's the southern, but she's the mountain one, isn't she?
She's the western region.
Western region, right. Michelle is the western region chair, and then Pam is the eastern region. Pam Anderson will be joining in person, as well as Amber from Denver will join in person to present information, and Bo has also agreed to come up and present to the commission. So that's some of the logistics. What I would like us to discuss is, you know, how do we best use that time? We'll have the data. We'll have that in a printed form as well as electronic form for them. My picture is everyone has, 5 minutes or so to present what's going on in their county, allow time for the commission to ask questions. But what do we want them to present? Is it, reiterating the data that they've given? You guys have all seen the spreadsheet. Is it focusing on what needs to happen for 2014? So let's go around, and if I could get the thoughts from you all, and maybe Why don't, Elena, would you mind just starting from a commission standpoint what you'd be interested in hearing and what you think is important, and then maybe Fran go next on that?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I think both would be helpful. I mean, I think we shouldn't assume that people will have reviewed the report or the spreadsheet or whatever, so giving a little bit of background on what the election looked like I think will be helpful. But I think from the conversation we had at the last meeting, at least some of the commissioners are really interested in knowing what does this mean for the report and what does it mean for 14. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we want the conversation to go. So I don't know if it's having every clerk do both what we did and where we think we need to go, or splitting it up and having a couple of people talk kind of top line about what happened. But I think the bulk of the conversation should be, are there things that need to be in place for 14, and are we on track to get there?
Okay.
Fran here. I agree with Elena. Maybe a quick overview of the statistics for each county that is presenting, because as we know, we don't always get time to really review that in great detail. So a very quick high-level overview of the statistics that they have, and then give comparisons from previous mail ballot year would be very helpful, I think, beneficial. Was there any differences? And I agree with Elena, what is needed for 2014? They might hit on that in a high-level degree, and then at the end, as a summary, really hit on that. One person give a total overview of the 2014, what's needed in the report. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. We also have the meeting on the 20th as well. I guess when I hear that, it's, I think we can do the overview and point at areas. And my mind was to have what really this group wants to recommend for the meeting on the 20th, based on what we hear as well. I mean, I think we can get some of it together. It's just, can we get it all together by the 9th? And I don't believe we can. And I didn't, yeah, I mean, or if we can, what's it going to take? And then divvying up how we do that. And we need to say all of it. So I'm not disagreeing
right.
that we don't need to say it. Just timing.
Right. And Hillary, it might also be just making it clear to the commission that that's the goal for the next conversation, so people aren't trying to have both conversations at once if that's not the plan. Even just a little bit of a roadmap, like we're just going to explain what happened this week and then at the next meeting we'll talk about the next piece, just to provide a little bit of guidance for the conversation. That might be helpful.
Well, I think it's, I mean, part of the reason to have such a wide diversity of clerks there is so that the commission can ask a wide range. So I don't think, I mean, it's fine to go through like what we see as a possibility for 2014 or where we see the gaps are. It's just aligning on, and here's what our final recommendations are. It's that part that I don't know if we'll be ready for until we hear more, frankly. Does that help at all?
Yeah, it does, and I think that makes sense. And I think maybe, again, just being clear that this is, you know, starting the conversation and that it's all preliminary until, you know, everyone had a chance to chime in and kind of study everything fully.
Okay. So, and there's some obvious things that, you know, no matter how much more we talk, are going to be on the table that we have to fix. So, okay. All right, others, what are your thoughts on how we use our time Monday? And we do also have another meeting on the 20th of December. And then the first report is, well, not the first, the report is due January 15th. So all of it's building to what are our recommendations in the report. So I will call on people if I have no volunteers, because I'd love to hear from you all.
This is Amber. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? I've kind of already got, you know, kind of a presentation sort of put together with just a few points on, you know, things that, trends that we've seen that are, you know, different not only from a previous mail ballot election but also from even 2012. So I think that data and sort of that analysis is important because mm-hmm. I think that kind of helps planning going forward. And as an example for us, we saw a significant increase in people dropping off their ballots in person. And so then how do you prepare for that kind of trend change for, you know, for next year? So I think, and I can, you know, we can kind of talk about where we are in terms of some of that planning. And then I think some of the score changes are critical. And that was the other thing that, you know, we've had a couple spirit tickets in since 2008 on that. And so I just want to highlight that on Monday as well.
Great. Amber, what are some of the, because I think that would be interesting for other counties as well if we had that snapshot. What are some of the other, like, where, what other, what's the other data that you guys looked at that in a comparison manner to other elections?
Really, like, the changes of address, new registrations, provisionals, drop-offs, numbers, and kind of when things came in. So we've always had a high return on election day, and so, you know, we looked at that, and it and that trend continued, and it slightly went up in terms of people dropping their ballots off in person as opposed to mailing them. So those are a few of the data points that we looked at. We also saw an increase in turnout from a previous mail ballot election, 2011, is sort of the comparison. So those are kind of all the things that that so far I've kind of captured. And I just put together a slide that kind of has a side-by-side comparison of some of those numbers that I mentioned. And I did include in-person voting on it as well. You know, obviously it wasn't as applicable in 2011, but we still did have GRE voting and things like that. So you can kind of see where the increase happened with the new model.
So it's a lot of the data that we had in the spreadsheet. It's just going back to, and did you just use 2011 to show the difference or any 2011 comparison?
Yeah, I only had 2011 on here just because, I kind of looked at 12, but 12, it's hard to compare. I mean, the one thing that I was going to just mention is, you know, we've seen a steady increase in terms of mail ballots being dropped off in person for a few years now. And so that continued. It went up significantly this year as it compared to 2012. And so given that, you know, we're going to continue to expand 24-hour boxes and drive-ups and all those kinds of things to kind of give people options so they don't have to park and come inside service centers. So that's just sort of the data has told us this is what we need to do, and so that's what our, you know, kind of goal is for next year. And I'm happy to, I mean, I've got a couple of slides already put together, and I'm happy to send that to other folks that are, you know, presenting on Monday if that helps kind of. And
that would be great, because I think that's some of what's interesting to see is, you know, what are the trends we're seeing across a broader section versus, you know, are there things that are particular to Metro and just to understand. So, yeah, that would be great. If you go ahead and if you wouldn't mind sending it to the business practice group, and then I'll make sure the others who are going to be joining us can put together some of that as well. And I guess I should check in, Fran and Elena. Does that sound useful?
I do believe that would be very helpful. I was wondering, too, if those that are presenting, and I'm just throwing this out for thought process, if it would be beneficial to also give the figure of the percentage of what their PMIV was in the past.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
Because that,
again,
that'd be
that's
helpful
pretty. So, some of those on the phone, I know quite a few of you have already sent in your information. Is it possible to get what would be most useful? I'd love to get some of that data that we already collected for this election for 2011. Is that, can you look at the spreadsheet we sent and add 2011 to it?
I think we could for most of it. I don't know that we could pull, like, number of replacement ballots or address changes. Can we?
I'll ask my data person and if she has any hints of how you might do that. But I know we do a lot of stuff in Access, so and we take snapshots.
We save that data.
So I'll if she has any hints or if it is one of those, if you took a snapshot, you can do it, and if you didn't, not sure if you can. I'll ask her and send around any hints that she might have. Let's see. Yeah, I think, yep. And I know for some, it's whatever data you have is useful. I think the other part this helps with is the question the commission has been looking at, which is what data do we want to collect in 2014? So I think by looking at some of these numbers, that should help.
How are you? This is Bo.
Yep, go Bo.
Hey, I have to run. My dad's in surgery this morning. It's minor surgery. He's just getting a hernia fixed. But I wanted to ask, you know, since I'm going to be there on Monday, what do you think the political, or you had mentioned some of the obvious questions that are going to be asked. Is there, you know, is there people on the commission with a clear agenda on certain issues, such as maybe the cost difference from 2011 to 2013 or any of those things that we need to think about?
We haven't had the cost conversation, and Fran or Elena, jump in. What are your thoughts on that? Fran, what do you think?
I'm never got a sense that the cost was any part of this at this point in time. It may not hurt to be prepared with something just in case that comes up now, but I don't think that's a relevant at this point in time. You know, I know it is a factor, especially when we're looking at 2014, the general, where we might have to have more facilities. That might be some data that we look at, too, for recommendation for 2014 is comparison to the sites we had open in the past to what we had this year to what we think we might need next year. So that might be pertinent.
Elena, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Fran. I don't think that there's been much interest in cost yet, although that may evolve. I think it's more likely there'll be questions about what's been in the papers as perceived problems with the law, so questions about how residency was handled or whether or not, you know, SCORE was working, you know, just things that they've heard. I think that's more likely to be the areas for question and concern. So I think being prepared to explain those types of things might be helpful. I don't think anyone's going to dig into cost, although that obviously could change.
I think we need to look at signature verification, too, as well, because that's part of one of the things you hear in the paper a lot.
Okay. And when you say look at it, what do you think would be useful?
It appears that from indications that I've gotten from reading different documentation and different articles that it's perceived that each county has their own method or best practices for signature verification. So perhaps we need to look at that and make sure that they're well aware that there are different, you know, we all follow the same rules and make sure that we do.
Yeah, I think from some of the questions that Representative Rankin has had, I think just knowing how the counties do it, you know, is it having staff look at each envelope individually? Is it done by looking at the signature on a screen? How are they trained? How is that audited? Or, you know, how is there, you know, oversight of that process? I think those are the sorts of things that, you know, at least he's had interest in the past in hearing about.
Well, and I think, too, like, a good portion of this is going to continue to develop because a lot of counties were polling place counties and had less mail ballots than others. So I think that as we continue our education through the Clerks Association and presentations on it, we're going to, you know, continue to bring best practices and help all counties, I mean, really, truly come into the same process I think we're very, very close. So like Fran said, we still follow all the same rules, and the minimums are always met.
Others?
Do you think on that note it would be useful for everyone to have their rejection percentages? Is that something we should collect?
Hmm. What do you guys think?
I think it would be good to look at it.
My first instinct is I pulled back from it instantly. That could be a can of worms, perhaps, at this point.
I think the thing with it is that we don't know. I mean, we've never looked at it collectively.
Exactly.
Right.
It doesn't mean that there's not value in it. But we don't know what it means, right? It's like numbers tell a story, and they can tell a lot of different stories.
Unless you could do comparative.
But maybe that's something to look at, maybe not for the 9th, because, again, I think we want to have more conversation on it and understand it, what those numbers mean ourselves. But maybe we look at it to be prepared for the 20th.
I like that idea.
Because I think, again, we need to understand the context and what are we seeing and what causes the differences. And I don't know if we've never, to my knowledge, had that as collective conversation. And, again, that's some of what conference is also about now that we're, I mean, those are the types of things that we usually discuss in those settings for that reason, is how to, now with the same consistent model, when we have different numbers, what do they mean and how come they're different?
Hillary, hi, it's Cynthia.
Hey, Cynthia.
Hey, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out what the relevance for rejection numbers are for the House Bill 1303, and I guess I'm kind of getting a little confused here, on what we really want to focus on and what the commission wants to really focus on, pertaining that to that 1303. So I'm kind of getting a little lost. Can we...
I guess when I think of that, because that is the bigger picture part of it, is there anything with signature verifying that needs to be a recommendation? And the numbers help you look at that. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know what differences necessarily mean.
But would there really be any differences? I mean, we've already done, our mail ballots. So that's kind of what I'm struggling with, because there really shouldn't be any differences with signature verification. You're doing it the same way,
mm-hmm.
no matter what type of election. It's just volume.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any difference. I guess the reason I brought it up is I'm wondering if there isn't, because I think part of the commission's charge is also to look at education for not necessarily county clerks, but for voters to kind of understand what the new model entails. And I don't think people realize that, signature verification is sort of part of the verification that they are who they are. So instead of an ID being presented at a polling place, that's how someone's vote is determined to be valid. And so the way I look at it is, do we need to do any additional education on that? What are the reasons that, is it a husband and wife kind of finding each other's accidentally? Is it, what are the reasons that we have some of these being rejected? And I know, like with us, in this election in particular, the change that came with the missing signature letter that allowed us to send the form as opposed to make voters come in, we saw a significant increase in the number that were cured. So I think that's a good positive change, because, that helped voters in terms of acts to, curing that discrepancy. So that stood out to me as a data point that, we would probably want to look at, and then see, if the other rates continue to be low in terms of curing, why is that? And then it goes into the whole DA discussion that's also been brought up at the commission as well. So that's the only reason I'm not even sure what, if it's the rate that we look at or if it's the cure rate. Possibly would probably question that I would say would make the most, you know, would probably shape the discussion more than the rejection rate itself. So that's the reason I brought it up.
Yeah, I also think, this is Elena, even though mail ballots were used extensively before the new law, I think that the integrity of mail ballots was part of the legislative debate, and there are commissioners who are still skeptical or want to know more about that. So I think even though it's not really a change in practice, I think there are commissioners who are interested in understanding the process more and making recommendations if needed to address that. So I don't think it's a focus point, but I think it is something that's probably likely to come up, and being able to explain, you know, these ballots were rejected because, you know, the judge was being really vigorous, or, you know, husbands and wives swapped their ballots by accident, or, you know, people were signing other people's, you know, being able to explain the reasons I think will be helpful, because I think there are some who are concerned that increased mail ballot use does allow for the potential of more fraud. So addressing
that. Yeah, and in addition to that, I mean, I think that also shows the safeguards in the system. That you know, if something didn't match or something wasn't validated or verified, it's not going to count. And that's the, you know, that's a, for us, that's an easy thing for us to, you know, get. We're in elections. We know that that happens. But I don't think that that necessarily is the case for people that are outside of the election process to understand that that is a significant safeguard in the system. And it's a significant part of this new model. So that's, I guess from my perspective, I think it's important.
Others? Some of you guys who haven't weighed in yet, it'd be great to hear what you think on that.
Hillary, this is Michael. Mm-hmm. I think along those lines of signature verification, one of the things maybe to touch on, this is just an idea, is to try and gather some consistency around which signature is used, which historical signatures can be used to verify the mail ballot envelope. And the only reason I say that is because I believe there are some signatures that get scanned into SCORE that aren't associated with an affirmation. And I know that I just heard concerns from people saying, well, you know, if there's no affirmation and someone can sign it, there's no penalty of perjury, and so, you know, someone could fraudulently sign it, and then all of a sudden the fraudulent signature becomes a real one. They could change an address there, get a ballot mailed to them, and then all of a sudden that fraudulent person's signature is the new real signature, and they can vote one. Now, I realize that never happens, and it's kind of conspiracy theory, and it's very theoretical. But just if we could gather some sort of consistency in the future about, you know, only a signature from these documents can be used for verifying signature verification, that may be something the commission's interested in discussing.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the DA group started with some of this, but it sounds like to me it's a bigger, it is that, what are the best practices around signature verification? And our data helps us point out, to Amber's point, right, the data helps us point to where there may be the places to look. And one of them, you know, that's what I hear you talk about, Michael, is process, right? Helping them understand when we go into SCORE where that signature comes from. And it almost, I mean, it sounds, it's, what I'm struggling with is how do you put that in to the reporting on the 2013 election and give it the right amount of attention? Or it's like, is it almost its own, you know, topic at a future meeting? Is that something we talk about? You know, do you put it on the agenda for the 20th to have a more in-depth conversation?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is something for a different meeting. And I mean, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but the report that came out regarding Broomfield, I think, points to three or four different things that could be where there are inconsistencies, and there may not be necessarily a rule to try to make that issue more consistent. And so even if the commission just took that report and looked at, they could probably see two or three things that they could talk about in depth that maybe make some suggestions.
Well, on that note, too, maybe we should talk about what is in that that report kind of at a high level and talk about the fact that they're not done and the research isn't complete. So some of what's in there may not be factual.
So then, again, so is that something, do we talk about that now, or is that something, do we look to talk about, get on the agenda for the meeting on the 20th?
I think we probably should put it off because it's, like, yeah. I said, they're not complete. We don't know the end result of everything, and all the firm numbers aren't in until the election is done, and they're still in recount.
Oh, yeah, and I don't necessarily think that that needs to be, like, you know, focused on Broomfield. More so focus on the scenarios. You know, for example, issuing ballots from a drop-off location without access to score. You know, it's kind of pointing out why this is a problem and do we need rules in place to make sure this doesn't happen. Or, and it doesn't have to be like I said, it doesn't have to be in the realm of Broomfield. It can be in the realm of, you know, County X. This is why this process makes things harder for an election official.
Well, and I have a question about that, too. One of the things I wasn't clear about when I read that was whether or not it was in there as a contingency in their security plan, and then if it, the judges at those locations were calling into the main office to check the eligibility before they issued them, and whether or not those locations that they used that contingency at were a long ways away from the main office, because that's what kind of the scenario that I thought in my head would make sense in that scenario. I don't know. Do you have some of those details?
Yeah, I mean, just based on from what I heard Mike tell the Canvas board when I was up there, he said that they were calling in to the clerk's office, and the reason why their Canvas numbers didn't balance is because when they called in, you know, you have to log out of your location and score and log into the new one. And there were a couple instances where the worker at the clerk's office just forgot to change their location and score, and that's why it looked like that's why the ballot inventories didn't necessarily match up. And so they were, you know, kind of accounting for that with, I mean, that those things happen, right? That's what you talk about with your Canvas board. So they were calling. Whether it was a contingency in the security plan, I don't know that answer. And that's something maybe, you know, should that even be an option? Because if it was a DSPC and you don't have connection, I believe our rule says that a provisional ballot is what's issued at that point.
The law allows for calling in to verify eligibility.
Yeah, the law says that you call in first, and then
if you can't do that,
then you issue provisional.
But another problem then is how do you, if you don't have connectivity and you can't print a label at your location where you're issuing the ballot to the person, how does that mail ballot envelope get tied to the voter?
You write it.
In Denver, the way we handled that is we basically had backup labels prepared that had a blank space that said score ID, the name, the address. And so all the judge at the site was trained that if they had to utilize the backup process, they would need to write the score ID and then the voter's information on the backup label and place that on the envelope.
Okay, that makes sense.
The main office would issue the credit to the appropriate location so that the inventory would match on the phone.
So I mean, I think that's a process where, you know, it sounds like some counties have thought about how they would do it. Maybe some counties actually did have to do it. I don't know. But that might be an experience to share with the committee because it sounds like Denver Mesa, you guys have thought about this. And I just know from my kind of brief time up in Broomfield that things did not go smooth.
Well, and the reason that we had that process in place last year primarily because the DIMOs are pieces of
yeah.
crap, and they don't work a lot, so we've had to utilize that before, even regardless of score. So the DIMOs are actually the reason that we even had anything in place. You know, we've had something in place for a few years because they're crap, so that's why we had that.
And it's like that just seems to me to be something that would be discussed with the committee, saying, you know, here's what we experienced in 2013. What should we do in 2014 to help everyone?
Yeah, and I think having backup labels, and all they were is just a sheet of backup labels, you know, printed and prepared, and then the judges were trained to fill it in, and it worked really well. So, I mean, I think that kind of, it's a best practice, right? So this group, I think, you know, can talk about those kind of things and then, you know, probably recommend that you know, in some sort of best practices guide. I mean, I don't think everything requires like a rule or whatever. It's just some of these things are, you know, kind of best practices that everybody can implement or utilize when somebody finds something that's a good process.
Were the locations that process was implemented a long ways away from headquarters where it was a big inconvenience for the voters to come into town, let's say, to get a replacement? Or?
I mean, not necessarily, Sheila. I used to live up there, and I could ride my bike across Broomfield County in about 45 minutes to an hour. Traffic wasn't bad. I mean, it's just small county.
I don't think we understand the whole makeup of how things work there. So.
And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to necessarily be tied to Broomfield. Just, you know, those type of scenarios could be used as examples.
And it is one of those, you know, where the phone, I mean, really it was about allowing smaller counties that didn't necessarily have all the internet connection possibilities with, you know, if they were to go to a more remote location, with the picture being it would be a VSPC and they'd be voting a flat ballot in person. So you'd essentially be doing a poll book with them, you know, call to make sure they hadn't voted. I don't know. It makes us think we got to think through that for, okay, well, if you're going to use it to issue a replacement mail ballot, it is a different story.
Yeah, and I mean, what I had in mind when we talked about that, when things were going through the legislative process, we have a mountain town that's 2 hours away that gets intermittent connectivity,
mm-hmm.
you know, but has hardline phones. So that was going to be our contingency plan up there as well, which in that community, they probably vote 30 people in an entire day on a busy election. So
it's all relative. Yeah. But more to take it out of Broomfield and raise it into one of the things to get clearer on is, you know, to both Amber and Michael and Sheila, your points is, what's the best practice around that?
Sounds good.
And then I guess I'm still trying to get clear on if we have, I mean, how much of the meeting do we have to hear from counties? And it's, in my mind, that's one of the prime opportunities is to hear from the counties and have them in front of the commission, which I know a few of the commissioners have been asking for.
Well, I think it would be appropriate for us to tell the commission that we are working on gathering data for signature processes, best practices, and also the use at the VSPCs and what variables we saw this time, right, for the 20th. I don't know if we can get it all together before Monday.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it really is, you know, what do we report now, and then who either, you know, have some of you guys join again by phone or in person if you can, or, you know, if you want to come do some Christmas shopping for the 20th, the Friday. Because, again, we want to be thorough. I mean, I'm sure we'll still get some questions, but maybe we just invite a smaller group back on the 20th, or, you know, I don't even care if it's small, it's a representative group back on the 20th. Elena and Fran? Elena, maybe go first. What are your thoughts on that from a commissioner standpoint?
I think that makes sense. I mean, I think it's right to kind of take the issues and talk about the best practices. I think the reality is that the commissioners will have read about Broomfield and there probably will be specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's more appropriate to set something up for the future to kind of talk through once the election's complete there and it's all been resolved. But I think it makes sense to tackle those issues head on and how the different counties approach them and kind of what the recommendation for 14, if there are pieces that need to be addressed over the next several months, because I think it's likely people will be familiar with these issues.
Yeah. And so maybe it's both. I mean, maybe there can be a preliminary in ways answer, and then with more time to both the discussion that comes up at the commission meeting as well, come back with another round of discussion on the 20th. Again, to get to what do we put in the report.
And would it be appropriate also to talk about the sad fact that when an election is close, there's all kinds of scrutiny and allegations and, you know, fuss and a storm around it, And when margins are wide, nobody even knew that we were working on our auditing process and canvassing process over the past couple of weeks, you know? So sometimes it's sensationalized, far and over and above what the reality is. Is that fair to kind of make a statement like that about the fuss surrounding Broomfield? I mean, any of us could have been in the eye of that storm. If we had a close race and people found an opportunity to make a political statement or try to turn the tides on the results or, you know, whatever the motivation is for people to hone in like that, it happens. That's politics, right?
Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm unsure of is how to segue from reporting on our own counties and our own elections and the trends we're seeing and what we're pointing for to 2014, and then how do you segue? Do you just proactively jump into the issues that have raised with Broomfield? Do you, you know, that's the part for me I
well,
don't
I'm
have.
Sure, like, to Elena's point. Some of the commissioners maybe already have read it, are fired up about it, and are going to ask us about it.
Well, what it makes sense for the, I think somebody said this earlier, would it make sense for the commission just to have a kind of a briefing on Broomfield and have the state kind of, you know, they've obviously investigated, done a report, provide their part, and then have Michael and Jim, you know, kind of provide that part? I mean, wouldn't it make sense to kind of sort of have that as a special briefing? Because I don't think all these issues happen elsewhere. So that's maybe it's better to kind of have it be one contained discussion.
An agenda topic.
Yeah. And to that point, have it on the 20th when there's been more resolution as well. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, I think so too. We need to give it enough time for it to be finished.
Mm-hmm. And there'll still be questions. And maybe we speak to our processes when asked.
This is Angela Larimer. I stepped into the meeting kind of halfway in, so I apologize if I've missed something and make a comment. But it seems to me that if we're going to mention Broomfield at all, it needs to be mentioned on a very broad comment that says, you know what, there are some things, obviously you've all seen in the news going on in Broomfield, that obviously will be getting the attention they need, but it would be imprudent to really talk about any of the details at this point because all the details haven't yet been ferreted out. And so it would be unfair to the process that we have going on here. It would be unfair for us really to dig into that until it has had its proper review.
Yeah. I think the people who need to speak to it are those who have the actual front-hand experience.
Well, I think the reality is, yeah, Broomfield is going to be on the minds of everybody in that commission. There's just no question about it. So if it's handled right off the top and say, you know, we know all of you have seen what's gone on in Broomfield or that there are some issues in Broomfield, we are not going to focus on those in today's meeting because it needs to more ferreting out. It needs more attention. We will not be doing our process here in this meeting any justice, nor will we be doing the elections process in general any justice. And we will waste a lot of important time that we'd only have a little bit of today. So let's discuss it when we have more information.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, maybe as setting the tone. We're happy to answer questions about how our processes work, but again, we don't have firsthand knowledge.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I'm looking at this spreadsheet. I'm understanding from Cynthia that this is intended to be shared at this meeting. Am I right, on Monday?
Yes.
And although, of course, I've not been in a lot of these meetings, but it appears to me from a first glance, having said that I wasn't involved in preparing this, that it's sort of an all-over-the-board perspective from each county, which I think is a dangerous route to take because these people on this commission, they don't understand elections at the depth that we do. And when you provide just very off the top of your head information for each of these line items, they're going to take it whatever direction they want to take it. I think we need a much more controlled
Angela, I'm going to stop you there for a minute because I don't think you're looking at the version that will be sent in. That was the original initial notes from an initial meeting. We've sent that back out to give counties the opportunity to have it say what they'd like it to say.
But
the questions that have been asked are the questions from the commissioners as well.
Okay.
They want to know information on a wide range of subjects.
Okay, so training, what is the question asked about training?
It's up above. What worked, what didn't, what could be improved? Again, I'm not sure you're looking at the most recent one.
I don't have it, yeah. I didn't see it, so.
Okay, we don't have it.
It went to you, Angela.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
Yep.
I was looking for Cynthia to have that. Okay.
Yeah. Those were just the notes that were taken to jog this committee's meeting of what they had said previously in order to answer the spreadsheet that went out a second time.
Okay.
The comments that were made here,
my understanding from Cynthia was these comments were made just during a teleconference.
Well, it's a public meeting. These are all public meetings, so it was made during that meeting, and that was the notes that were captured to remind people of what they'd said when they went to answer and fill in the spreadsheet.
And I think I misunderstood the assignment too a little bit, so I'll be filling in our real sheet today.
Okay.
I'm not the only one off the map here.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for that, Sheila.
I haven't looked at you guys' sheets up close. I've had Joan in my office doing it, but that it says at the top what you know what worked, what didn't, and what do you suggest for 2014? Because that's what we want to focus on. So. So to recap.
Oh, I'm sorry if I came off that way. I certainly didn't intend to. I just was trying to be succinct in the way I was providing the information. So not freaked out. Just want to be real clear that, you know, when you're talking with folks like this, I'm just feeling like it needs to be a real clear message, clear information, because they just don't live in our world. And
well, that's also why we're having people say what it is, too, right, to have them come talk about it.
Oh, okay.
So, and it, you know, yep.
On Monday.
So what I've heard so far is for Monday, we'll go ahead and present our information that, you know, some statistics Amber's going to send around her, the data that she's comparing. I think it would be great for those who are going to join us in person to have that as well. And then we'll come up with a message on the Broomfield questions. Kind of along what Angela was talking about, how, you know, it is premature, and we'll look at seeing if they don't come themselves on the 20th. Again, I don't know if that's as the business practice group's decision. I think that's really the commission's decision, but that might be what we recommend. If they want to go there, we can talk about our practices. Is that a fair summary of what others have heard? And if not, what am I missing? What else would be added to that?
I think so, too.
Okay, and then in addition, do we recommend they add signature verifying as an agenda item for the 20th to talk about the process? I know we've taken them through it and rejections and that the back end of the process. I heard a recommendation. I heard a few people agree.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And we were also going to talk about best practices, which mm-hmm. I think could also include, like, what Pam presented at conference last summer, which was the auditing, post-auditing, to make sure your judges are signature verifying properly, or your machine, whichever you're using.
Yeah, there's the audit process in the rule already. And then, in addition, in the DA working group, I thought we came up with either or best practice. If you have two judges doing it at the time, or if you only have one judge, then you audit them afterwards.
Correct.
Okay. And then it does still sort of leave, you know, to what Michael was speaking about of, what are the issues that maybe did occur in Broomfield. Again, we're still waiting for all the details to sort out, but do point to where do we need more clarity and where do we need more information on what a best practice is. You know, for instance, how you do remote access if you have to use a phone line to process ballots. I mean, where does that fit in? Is that, or what topic would that be? Is that something, an agenda item for the 20th? Is that something we speak to on the 20th or on the 9th that says these are things we'll be looking at our conference in order to continue to improve these processes? You know, kind of to your point, Sheila. How do we handle that topic? What do you guys want to land with that?
So what do you mean, how do we want to land with the Broomfield topic?
Well, it's not Broomfield itself. It's what Broomfield points at, right? Like what I took away from the conversation we just had, and I think it's where Michael was also taking us, and Michael, if I'm speaking incorrectly or putting words that aren't what you meant, please, you know, jump in, is around how people use phone as a backup plan. It's the best practices. Right. There's what other issues are there, again, as we look towards 2014
when
that we're going to want
to
focus
on? To fall into that contingency?
What do you mean by that? Fall into the contingency?
So it sounds like there may be some clerks that interpreted that the contingency could be used just for convenience for voters at maybe locations that aren't 2 hours away and in a mountain town and has intermittent connectivity, you know, or when your internet connectivity actually did go down and you've got a line of voters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess we just need more discussion around when is it appropriate to fall into the contingency plan.
Yeah, it's one of those, but so it's one of those items, right, that needs more discussion is how the use of phone and and what happens when you don't have access to SCORE.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's with discussion, I would see that the commission may have a recommendation on that, and what does that look like?
Okay.
Are there other items that fall in that?
Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I picked up from the Broomfield thing is the residency deadlines, which is going to, you know, be a topic of discussion next year. Anyway.
Yeah, and we know there's legislation. People are looking at legislation to address some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. So those are really the two main points that I can think of that we may need to address. Michael, what else is there?
Well, Hillary, you did state what I was trying to get at well, so thank you. I think, yeah, the one other thing in my mind and there may be others, but is the what happens when, for example, if I live in Denver and I accidentally sent my ballot to Adams County, how those ballots are treated so that it's consistent across the state? So I don't know if we call those out-of-county received ballots that are received before the close of polls, or however we want to label that, but just trying to get some consistency there, and then consistency with regard to which signatures are we using for signature verification.
Yes. And so as part of a best practice for signatures, which signatures are we using?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
for the out-of-county things, we can just reference the best practice that we have on that. Is there a rule, or is it in the best practice manual?
No, I mean, I think this is kind of a problem because it's not in the rule. In the policy manual essentially had to get scraped. and it has to be recreated because of just all the changes we've had. And so, like, I believe that report references the 2012 policy manual,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit confusing. And so that's just where I'm thinking, you know, if a county's looking to try to for a document for some consistency, we just need to give them a resource.
Yeah. And so maybe, again, because this is one of our other bullet items for today is, you know, it's what recommendations do we want to suggest that go into the report. And so maybe that's what we prepare for the 20th, and these are some of the topics that go there. Again, we know what questions will come up on the 9th, and we'll just have to answer them the best that we can. But
yeah, I think, Hillary, I think you're exactly right. I mean, to the extent a question comes up about, you know, well, I read about this in Broomfield, say, well, I can't speak about Broomfield, but here's how our county, you know, handled something similar, or if you want to, or you could just totally deflect it and say, you know, if this commission wants to talk about Broomfield, we suggest, you know, actually talking to Broomfield, mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Because I think it is that respect thing for Jim and Mike to give them an opportunity to, you know, once everything clears, which very well may not be by the 20th, if in fact that lawsuit was filed, because that'll, I'm sure, take up a ton of their time. So they may not be available for a while.
And may not be recommended that they speak.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
So, okay.
Hillary, this is Michael again. I'm sorry, but I do have to jump off to another meeting at 9:30. And so I'll shoot you an email with our spreadsheet.
Okay. That would be great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. I'll pass it on once we get them collected to the group. So I think we have a pretty good idea of how to go about happening on the 9th, and then just be, I'd be prepared. It sounds like the group is aligned that we're not going to, we'll speak to our own processes and, you know, not speak to or stay away from speaking to Broomfield, which I think is where we started as well, just making it really clear. Any other concerns or additions to what we need to do on the 9th? Or clarifications? So then on the 20th, it sounds like that's where we would bring up some of the areas that we might need best practices on, or, you know, more discussion. And some of those I heard were, you know, how do we use phone for SCORE, calling in to a main office, residency. We did also have some on security, and Trevor, I know we talked at the commission a bit. I don't know if that's been landed on, but something I know we're hoping for conference, we'll have some, here's what you need to think about for security for your site locations, and maybe it's just, you know, site locations in general is a topic that we need to discuss or talk about with the commission, because how you pick them, what's important about them, what the limitations are.
So I think we're moving forward on two fronts on that. One, I know that Rich Schleip, the information security officer for our agency, he submitted material to present at a session at conference, mm-hmm. around security. So that's one front, trying to, you know, make sure that we're providing that opportunity. And then the second front is Rich and I, and I believe Michael Hagahara as well, are meeting with Jonathan Troll tomorrow morning. He's the state chief information security officer, and we're trying to get his perspective. The state is actually reworking a lot of the state-level cybersecurity policies, and they've seen copies of the acceptable use policy, and then the kind of the network and security guidelines documents that we refresh and send out to counties earlier this fall. So we're meeting with him on that. Obviously, his scope is beyond just counties and year-round or VSPC elections, but also DMV and health and all that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to get his perspective on that, so we can make sure that we're all kind of pulling the oars in the same direction. And so some of whatever we hear from him tomorrow, and the state is unveiling their new round of security policies on the 11th, so it's a week from tomorrow. So some of that is probably going to influence the presentation that Rich makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, assuming that they allow him to go ahead and speak at the conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's helpful. So then I guess, is that something that you guys could have for the 20th to talk about as well?
Because yeah.
By the 11th, yeah. More dust will have settled.
Yeah, exactly. I believe so. And honestly, I don't know where the state security policies are going. There's always been a little bit, since I've been in the state at least, there's always been a bit of a disconnect between what people, between the hoped-for utopia and then the reality based on fiscal and just resource constraints, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're going to do any better of a job, you know, now actually recognizing that divide, or if they're still going to adopt some policies that, you know, may not be reasonable for some people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have questions for Trevor on the security part? I guess some of it we'll have to wait and see, and we'll have more questions for you later.
I'm sure.
Once we see what that is. Okay. So those are the big areas for the 20th. The other one, Amber, I heard you mention, which is something both from an association, best practice, all of that, is the increase in people dropping ballots off in person, and how to facilitate that best. Sounds like you'll touch on it on the 9th, but maybe that's another item for the 20th as well, because I think that's one of the issues counties, I know we're going to talk about it at conference, but that's one of the areas that we have to really think about is resource allocation with the model of people dropping off even more ballots than we've ever seen on election day by mail.
I have the method moves things around, but I have a slide that basically breaks down the return method for mail ballots by percentage, what sort of where they came from. And then I also have comparisons, and it's sort of on the last 2 days as well. Did we see out a significant increase on the last 2 days? So there's sort of both pieces.
Yeah, and when you're talking about that, the other thing that I know you guys have thought through a lot, and I know some other counties have well, is like, you know, what are some of the best practices, both around 24-hour boxes, even though we've said them before, is it worth also saying to the commission? And then in addition, you know, when you're thinking about drive-by, when you have that increase as well, because we've had them for a while, and the increase in volume, we'll be thinking them through different next year as well as that. But like, this is where, again, Elena, probably you're a good perspective. Is that too nitty-gritty for the commission?
Sorry, I was on mute.
No.
So, like, wait a second, that's not working. You know, I think it's sort of a hard line because I think some of the stuff, it gets a little bit too in the weeds, but I think it's actually helpful because it shows that it's not just a... So, no, I would say I think it's okay. I think it would be helpful to know that it will probably take some time to kind of do the top line, go into the weeds, and then kind of come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing that it will be, you know, a longer conversation, I think the commission could probably use more nitty-gritty.
Okay. And so my thought on that was to, you know, we'll be talking about these as counties and clerks and staff present on Monday, and then lay out, here's what we think we should talk more about on the 20th, and then if the commission doesn't think that, that would be the time where we could adjust.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I would think that there may also be a couple issues that come up that aren't in the presentations. It seems like there's always a couple questions that are kind of, could also be, you know, moved to the 20th if need be, but yeah, I think that makes sense.
Because what I see, these are the things that are going to be different, and we need to think through, really, it's the how does this new model impact? I mean, some of the things we've been doing, but the volume is going to change how we think about it. So it really is, what do we need to focus on? And then do some of these end up in the report or not? That's the next. I'm actually going to switch our agenda items because we have about 10 minutes left of, you know, what do we need to put into the report. And I don't know if we know that yet until we've had the discussion. Fran or Elena, do you guys have a sense of what from this group or what types of recommendations that we would be making? And also from this group member, what do you guys think is important? I guess I'm still a little unclear of what exactly the tone of our report, and maybe Vanessa, you can speak to that of what, you know, what's the outcome for the report? I know we report to the legislature about the implementation and make recommendations. I'm assuming some of those might be legislative, but I don't see, we haven't really had that conversation as a commission. did Vanessa have to jump off as well?
I'm gonna this is Trevor. I'm not sure.
okay, that's
not
Trevor.
Alone.
So
hey, I'm still here. Come on.
Yeah. So, with the group, what do we think is important to make sure ends up in the report? Or I guess Elena or Fran, I'm still a little unclear of what exactly the outcome is with the report.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, to me, the bigger question for the report is how do we evaluate 14? What are the things we need to study?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just don't have a clear sense of that yet, so I think that's something that we need to spend some time thinking about. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know that I have a great sense of what the recommendations should be. I mean, obviously there's some stuff around score, residency. I mean, there's some stuff we know, but it feels like until we get through the presentation, it's a little hard for me to say exactly what the report's supposed to look like. I guess I share. I don't have a great sense of where we're headed with it.
I have the same problem. That's why I've been so quiet. You asked a question that obviously there's legislative recommendations, security, score, but beyond that, until I think we talk about it as a group and kind of pull together the other two reports and see, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else from the business practice group? Are there items that, I mean, we have talked around some of them. Are there items that we want to make sure either at least the legislature is aware of? It's hard to go there, but.
You know, other than the residency thing, I mean, that's the biggest deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a whole lot. I mean, it went smooth. It went like we've done things before in my mind. I mean, mm-hmm. overall, that we just didn't hear of a lot of problems or a lot of confusion by the end of it in my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So for legislative recommendations, I mean, I think the residency is the most pressing issue for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that also, you know, we had a group working on the updating what an election judge and watcher should be doing in a new environment like this.
Mm-hmm.
And what their new job titles are, or descriptions, rather. I think that one, though, both of the political parties have been involved in, so that probably wouldn't come through the commission if it comes to fruition.
Yeah. Others? Amber? Connie? Rudy? Cynthia?
I think we've pretty much covered. And I guess I'm kind of, you know, at least the way I've been thinking about it is very much, here's the data from this election, these are the trends, and this is sort of what we're looking at in terms of plans for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important to kind of, we don't want to spend too much time sort of rehashing 2013. We really need to say, here's what the data and here's how the voters acted.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was coming a lot on election day, whatever. And so therefore, you know, you take that times three or whatever that is for next year, that's what we have to be prepared to handle. And I just want to, I guess, focus on sort of the moving the discussion forward. And critical from what everything I've looked at, and you know, we've had this issue in to the score help desk as a spirit item, is this sort of the efficiencies within the system in terms of processing voters at a site.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been an issue for years. It's not new with 1303. It's just less we need to reduce the number of votes. We really need to get the efficiencies in the system to better handle voters at a service center, especially dealing with larger volumes. So I think I can't say it enough because, you know, it needs to happen, hopefully, you know, after four years or whatever that it's been sitting there. We just really need to get
some sort of module that requires less clicks. And even with DODs and the labels and everything else, the amount of clicks that an election judge or registration judge has to go through to process a voter is ridiculous. So, I mean, I really want to make sure we kind of keep driving the discussion forward in preparation for next year.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that's also where, you know, we have counties who have done their own vote center modules for those reasons. And I'm, you know, what are some of the, it'd be great maybe even to get some of what have you guys learned and that's important to get your voters processed, because the vote center, like Larimer especially, right, you guys had your own module and part of that was for those efficiencies, I'm assuming.
Mesa did too. And you know, how are we communicating back with the state and involved in the score tickets like we had been previously? This group used to have a direct link there. And do we need to go through the commission for the technical stuff?
Trevor, are you still on? What's your thoughts on that? Because I know it's like, how quick can we process a voter in a center is everyone's concern, yours included.
Yeah, I mean.
And how do we get there?
Well, shoot, honestly, I don't know that this past election was very instructive. Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, less than 1% of the voters showed up in person for us to practice on.
Yeah,
and I think that in the last gubernatorial election, I don't think that, in 10, that I know that the number of PMIV voters was still relatively high. I mean, I was struck by, in 2008, the rise in the number of folks that actually received and then voted by mail ballot. And then in 10 and 12, almost all of the growth in folks that voted by mail, and I understand today we're mailing ballots to everyone, but almost all of the growth in mail ballots, from 8 to 10 to 12, came not at the expense of Election Day voters, but at the expense of early voters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the percentage of folks that walked in on Election Day was almost identical in 8 and 10 and 12. The real growth was, the growth came at the expense of people walking in during early voting. And so, I honestly do not know. I don't think a coordinated election is a very good, oracle to inform us as to what it's going to look like this fall or next fall. And so, I don't even know what sort of people throughput you're going to have to look for.
Mm-hmm. Other than the process should still be efficient as it can be.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the state is developing that module, right?
Absolutely. I mean, so we've got an internal effort with Trent Sunil and his team, looking at, the way I put it to the commission is, kind of revamping the vote center module, okay? But it's really new development. Mm-hmm. Of a BSPC module, because we need to beg, borrow, and steal, things from both, the old early voting module, which was Citrix-based, and then the VC module, which was just a web app, so we can actually support the needs of ESPCs, right? But at the same time, we have an RFP on the street. We've got responses coming in next Thursday for a commercially available electronic poll book. And so I know we'll... My hope is we'd get 8 submissions. My guess is we'll get 3 or 4. But some of those they're on the market. They're being used today. They don't do exactly what Colorado needs, but I think they might be able to be modified to do what Colorado needs.
Well, but I actually disagree that the coordinated didn't provide us some good information and data going forward. Even lower turnout, get all that. But you can take the trends and what happened, and next year's a bigger election. So you just sort of adjust based on what you expect turnout to be. It's all in projections. And
you know, we've utilized all of the data from all of the past elections since 2008 and gotten to the point, and literally this we have projections for staffing on a daily basis for ballot processing, but we're within a few hundred ballots each day. Now, for us at 140,000 ballots, that's a pretty good projection. We almost got perfect. We were almost exactly what we expected because trending and voters don't necessarily change. And that happened last year, too. We were almost spot on every single day in terms of what we expected to receive. And our, I think the other thing is percentages. So as Trevor mentioned, with early voting decreasing last year, we saw that again this year, and you know, I think we would expect to see the majority of our in-person voting happen on election day because it's sort of they didn't get their ballot for whatever reason. They need to change their address. They need to register for the first time, whatever it is. We saw 74% of our in-person voting happen on election day. So that tells me, I mean, we've got to have a high capacity to handle whatever we need for next year, and how do we plan for that? And so I think these give us a good picture of what we need to be prepared to handle. And, you know, I think the other thing that we need to make sure we keep our eye on is that this is not a vote center model. Vote center model was based on checking voters in. The people that come into service centers are coming in because they either need to change an address because they didn't get a mail ballot or they need to register for the first time. They're not just coming in because everything in the system is perfect, and they got their ballot and whatever. They're coming in because they've got an issue to resolve. And so, therefore, the registration, and this is a business process. So I think when the state's working on development, I hope there's discussion with the counties on this, because most counties have the registration module open first, because the majority of voters coming into a service center, that's where you're going to start, because you've got to update the record. Then you're going into early voting module. In the previous model, we were sitting in the early voting module dealing with early voters, like last year. That's different in a mail ballot election because the majority of your voters coming in have something to resolve. So we just need to keep our eye on the fact that that's the business process, and we need to make sure the system accommodates those needs within the business process instead of building a system and then trying to modify the business process to fit the system.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And I believe we do understand, I mean, you know, both on the line of business side as well as kind of the tech side, that most of the people that walked in and appeared in front of you either, you know, they had an issue, right? They didn't just have a ballot that they could go ahead and vote and return. You know, they had an issue. So it's not check-ins. So the per person, you know, time, you know, in a VSPC is going to be higher than it was in a vote center. But, you know, hopefully there will be fewer people. So, but, I mean, one of my suggestions would be for those counties, like it sounds like Denver's one of those counties, that actually have gathered, you know, great information to allow them to project pretty accurately, you know, what that people flow is going to look like. You know what? I would love to get a hold of that so our team could take a look at it. And that ought to be the basis of a presentation to other counties so that other counties can benefit from that. I mean, and maybe you guys already do that. I mean, maybe that's part of it's been a while since the secretary's let me go to a clerk's conference. You know, maybe that's part of the sessions that you cover anyway, so counties can walk away with information, spreadsheets, calculations, ideas about, oh, gosh, I wonder how many people are going to walk in. Is that the type of thing that you cover at conferences and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a hold of that stuff.
Oh, I'm on mute. And actually, Amber, you don't know this yet, but that is actually one of the presentation things that when I see you tomorrow, I'm going to talk with you about.
Yeah, Amber is already volunteered for that.
Yeah, it is on resource allocation and the process you guys use, combined with, you know, the people from Lean are presenting at the conference as well. So, but we'll talk tomorrow. But, yeah, that's exactly. It's what is your methodology you use, and so that other counties don't have to invent it but can duplicate it with their own data. And maybe that's also something that can come from this group, too, is here's continuing that effort after conferences. Here's how here's how to make sure you've thought it through. So, all right, well, we've run over by some time. Our next meeting is on the 18th, and we do have in-person, and I have it in the Aspen room. Stephen, is that correct? I'm not sure if you had to jump off.
I can confirm that later. I believe it's in the Aspen room, but I'll have to check my calendar.
Because UBS is meeting in the other room, so I don't know if it's switched. But anyway, currently I think it's in the Aspen room. There'll also be call-in information. Then the rest we'll see on those of you who can make it in person on the 9th. And then, Amber, if you can send out that spreadsheet to those who you already have on the email, and I'll pass it on to the couple others. That would be really helpful. Any other concerns or action items before we jump off?
Sorry, what I have is I kind of have a start to a PowerPoint. I don't have it all in a spreadsheet. I mean, I can put it in
No, that's fine. No, you send what you have. It's more, it's just the whatever format you have it in, so people can look at what else we'd like to gather.
Okay.
That would be great.
I have one
up,
if I could.
Yep.
We talked about last time we had a conversation about how to handle the undeliverable ballots that we saw this election and how a process could be implemented to reduce the number of undeliverable then notices we were going to have to send. And we didn't blast that out to the entire clerk community, I don't think. And so who do we want to do that still, and who should do it as the business practices group?
Yeah, I guess where I pause on that is, as a business practice group, we haven't reviewed that. But is that something as from the association that we would hear something that could be helpful? That's my only concern with it.
Yeah, well, I know a few of us kind of are looking at it. You and I have talked about it. But
yeah. And we're definitely looking at that process. What is the what's the group think? I guess one of those things is it's like I'm not a my only concern is if we haven't thought of something, like, you know, is it a best practice yet because we haven't tried it? Versus here's what we're trying, and if you're interested, join us. Do you know the difference of that, of what I'm making, to get the distinction? Is
maybe that's best to just put it out as this is some of the ideas that are out there on how to best handle your, manage your resources where it, you know, pertains to sending notices to an undeliverable address we already know is undeliverable.
Undeliverable, it's going to come back. And that we've already, because they had an undeliverable ballot, are already going to be inactive.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me talk to the association about it. Maybe that's the route we go.
Okay. And then we'll, and then we can revisit it on the 18th if people haven't. I know we're waiting to send out ours anyway, so.
Yeah, I have heard from data clerks then that have already got theirs done and headed out the door.
Yeah. So. But that's one of those definitely for next year to have in place.
Okay.
Okay. I have that added to the list. All right. Well, thank you guys for our conversation. We'll continue on. Appreciate you making the time. And we'll be in touch. Thanks.